Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If, you know, a bigger deal presents itself, which right now I think the only thing, you know, that's even remotely on the table at this point would be the Jimmy Butler talks. But I still think, like, the Schroeder trade did happen day one, but I think we're still at the point where most teams around the league with most of their assets are holding pretty firm to a pricey price tag, I guess you'd say. And I think as it gets closer to the deadline, maybe some more movement will happen. And I think that's where Kuminga's future with the Warriors or elsewhere will really be determined.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're talking with Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider, and his work is with The Athletic. So, Anthony, when you say there's a decent chance, I get it. There's a lot of twists and turns around the corner, but, I mean, do you think that this is better than 50-50, that Kuminga has moved?
No, I don't, because I have learned over the years, particularly covering the Warriors, that a lot of times midseason movement doesn't happen. You know, you hear a lot of stuff and you see some names and you do know, you know, they're talking to this person, that person, and like the seismic in-season trades do not happen that often. With the Warriors and really league wide, hasn't been too crazy at the deadline. So, I would probably go less than 50-50. I mean, just cause I don't think that they're just going to punt away the talent, on the cheap. And we'll see. You know, you see a lot of these, you know, let's talk the Jimmy Butler one. I mean, that is a massive, you know, contract that you'd have to be bringing in. Like, that's a risk. It's keeping Kuminga as a risk. Staying with the youth is a risk. Walking Jimmy Butler in at the age he is with his hand out saying, give me my monster extension, is also a risk. And, I don't know that they're going to come to a decision that that's the right move.
Knowing that, and, you know, trades are hard, as they've told us time and time again, do you think it's more likely that they end up making a medium or a smaller deal, something much more incremental to get them better?
Yeah, and I mean, they tell you they already did, right? I mean, I think the Schroeder deal is exactly what you're talking about, a mid-tier deal. If you look at what Dallas did last year with, like, the P.J. Washington, the Daniel Gafford, sure, you know, maybe it is. Maybe you get back in the Cam Johnson conversation, or, you know, how does Kyle Kuzma sound to y'all? Maybe a stretch five like a Kelly Olynyk who they've sniffed around in the past. There are opportunities out there, and I'd probably say that is a little bit more likely. But the one thing that's been voiced to me is, like, they want to see what this team with Schroeder is. I think what happens over the next 6 weeks, how they look, where they are in the standings, could dictate how hungry they are to make, you know, certain types of moves and go all in or not.
Hey, what did you make of Anthony Edwards' post-game ref rant? And what the league, you know, are there other players feeling that way? Like, what's the current relationship between the officials and the players?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's been at this point the last 5-6 years. I remember talking to Draymond about, you know, he feels like a lot of the new, this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I think Durant was still here, actually. He feels like a lot of the new refs don't have that, you know, I guess, feel. Steve Kerr was talking about it, in Houston. Just sometimes some of these young refs, they're a little bit more by the book, and they're not as like, you know, conversational, or they don't like kind of run the game like your Joey Crawfords or your, you know, so, some of those older guys, the Dick Pavettas. But, you know, it's not like those guys didn't have their issues and their run-ins over the years. So I just think it's just the natural state of sports, right? You know, like you're always going to kind of complain about the umpire, complain about the referee, complain about the official.
But are we at a point now where, you know, younger players and younger officials, they don't have the same level of understanding, I think, of the relationship and how to, quote, work a ref and how to, you know, ultimately coax what you want out of the relationship. And now we just take to social media and everyone's mic'd up after games. And so it seems like the discord is a lot bigger and the gulf is a lot wider than it used to be.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably kind of a younger player problem. And like I said, the players would say that's a younger ref problem too. Like they're not as good at, like, you know, kind of talking and all that. And some of it might just be, like, it probably used to be easier when you didn't have to worry about some guy in their house with like a cell phone who sees you on camera and can immediately get it up on social media that, hey, this ref said this to, you know, this guy. It's just, we're in such a surveilled world, I think, that it's probably taken away some of that natural, like, kind of behind the scenes, feel away from some of these officials.
Hey, Slates, what's going on with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, I just spent a few days around them, and obviously we put up that story. But, you know, he's trying to figure out if he feels like they can contend long-term. And you know, he legitimately wants, like, you know, West Finals, NBA Finals level, like, realistic contention. And a couple seasons ago when they made the playoffs, you thought maybe they were on this, like, upward trajectory. Well, it's, you know, that arrow is pointing down right now. They're 13-17. They're 0-4 in this current homestand. Things are kind of, crashing there a little bit. And, you know, we've reported it, but Rich Paul was at the game the other night. He met with the Kings front office prior to the game. And that's a name that a lot of people in the league are, you know, kind of highlighting right now as maybe the next guy, the next big name that might be on the move eventually. He has not, I will highlight that he has not requested a trade at this point, but it's just that he's thinking about his future.
Is there another name out there or maybe a player that we should keep an eye on as somebody who might be a surprise trade target over the next 6 weeks or so?
Oh, big name? Not really. I mean, it's going to be your, like, this Pelicans really got to figure out Brandon Ingram's, future. I think he can probably be had on the cheap. I'm not sure LaVine will get moved. I think the Bulls are a little bit thirsty for it. I wonder about Michael Porter Jr. in Denver. If they go kind of upgrade hunting, I don't know if those names do that much for y'all.
Anthony, would the Kings ever do business with the Warriors?
It would take a lot. And again, I think De'Aaron's probably, you know, he's more intent on like a younger core.
Yeah.
We reported, like, the Spurs seem like an interesting possible target there. Houston. I'm not saying no completely on that one, but it doesn't seem like necessarily a fit on the De'Aaron side. And you mentioned it, I'm not sure if Vivek wants to pick up that phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What about Zion? Not only possible availability, but what do you think about how he would fit in a theoretical move to Golden State?
It's an interesting swing. It's a big contract with, like, not a lot of guarantees on availability. But, man, there's, like, a talent upside there where, you know, it's almost an extreme version of what they got with Wiggins, right? You know, when they brought Wiggins in, you thought it wasn't a good deal. And they resuscitated his value, and it looked great for a long time. It still, in a lot of ways, looks good. I think there's a lot of teams at least thinking about the Zion option, but it's a desperate move. But this might be a desperate time for a lot of teams around the league, including the one in Chase Center tonight.
Slates, we'll let you get to the Steve Kerr conference, but real quick, Draymond, everything good? Is he playing? What's going on?
Questionable. Should know in about 8 minutes from now for sure. My guess would be yes, but at this point, I'm sure Steve will probably go up and say he's going to warm up and they'll decide, which, by the way, he was going to warm up and decide in Minnesota, and then they said no go. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. We'll be looking for your Twitter, man.
All right, fellas.
Okay.
Thanks
man. Happy holidays. There he goes. Anthony Slater, The Athletic, joining us right here on Willard and Dibbs. Shooty Babbitt on the Ricky Henderson situation and his passing coming up in just about 10 minutes. What'd you grab from that? I mean, the whole trade chatter thing, I'm not going to say he throws water on it. I think the Warriors are very active in all discussions, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. This big thump of a trade that everyone's waiting for just doesn't usually happen midseason.
No, and, you know, trades are hard, and we always say that because that's what the Warriors have said, and yet they made a trade the instant the trades were able to be made, and February 6th is the date at the deadline, so by then you will have some sort of a shakeout between teams that are in it and teams that are out of it. But I look at the standings, Mark, and you've got 30 teams in the association, and you look forward to early February, and I think a lot of these teams are going to fancy themselves as still kind of still in it.
Yeah.
And so the teams that are going to be clear-cut sellers, New Orleans is one, and that's why I asked about Zion, and he mentioned Brandon Ingram. They're going to have to figure out what to do with them, but the other name that came out, De'Aaron Fox, is one that becomes a little bit of a surprise one to watch. He's got one more year on his deal after this one, making about $34, $35 million, and yeah, he's an exciting player, and I understand that he might want to go to a younger core of players, but if he pops free, that suddenly becomes, for me, an interesting name to keep an eye on.
Well, he's fun. I don't know if he's a fit. I mean, you know, just Steph.
Talk about going small.
Yeah, just Steph and De'Aaron. You've already acquired Dennis Schroeder, by the way. Does that in any way fit on a basketball court with what the Warriors are trying to do? I know he's a fun name. I love the player. I like De'Aaron Fox is fun. He's effective. I think he is a really, really good player, and he's young. But if what the Warriors are trying to do, using Steve's words, surround Steph at all costs, I don't know how that one makes sense. And then add in it's the Kings and Warriors.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't see how they do a big deal together.
The other take that I got from the Slater interview was the idea of Jimmy Butler and him coming here with his hand out, and that scares me, where you acquire Jimmy Butler, and he's, you know, 34, going to be 35, I believe, and he comes here wanting a new deal, and that's a huge deal that he's going to want. So that, for me, would scare me off if I'm the Warriors, knowing that even if you get him and he's got a player option, and he wouldn't pick it up in Miami because he wants an extension. So you trade for him, you bring him in here, and he immediately has his hand out. That would be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, well, and we already heard Monty Poole last week express that the Warriors have their reservations with regard to his availability, which is completely fair as well. Even if you're willing to handle some things in the future, in exchange for now, how much does the now exist? You certainly don't want to give up assets and have Jimmy come in here and be hurt. So that one feels very unlikely to me, and it also feels like the only one, as he said, that's really available now. I think that you're waiting for the trees to shake something free, and I don't know what it'll be. That's kind of what I was getting at last week when you're like, I don't think the trade's going to be there, and I'm like, I agree with your what you're saying right now. Maybe it won't be there, and it's certainly not there right now. But I have no idea who is going to be free or what it's going to cost over the next 6 weeks. What I do know is that, dude, we got an issue here. There's a problem. There's a problem. If the Warriors feel right now, and this is what Anthony was essentially expressing to us, you tell me if I'm overstating it, but the situation that has been created around their young players, namely Jonathan Kuminga, Kuminga is after money and buckets. And that does not fit what the Warriors think they're trying to do. And so we can scream at one another all day long about whether Kuminga is a future star or not a future star, and if he has been given a lane or not been given a lane. And those are fair conversations, but maybe not the ones that matter the most. The bottom line is, Jonathan and the Warriors might be trying to do different things right now.
Yeah.
And that's why there's not a fit sometimes. Oh, it doesn't look like he fits. Yeah. They don't have a common goal.
Well, it's difficult for him, and I can see it, to have that common goal where, you know, you want to go out there and show it, and you're not in the same role night in and night out. Some days you start, some you're off the bench, and I think that the way he plays is always going to be a certain way, which is aggressive. He's going to always be aggressive to try to get there and get his buckets. And The beauty of NBA.com is you can go to a box score and you can click on the player and look at every shot they've taken in the course of a game. And I'm going through right now his performance against Minnesota, 3 of 11. And you can look at some of the shots he's taken in this game. There's a 12-footer right away with 17 on the shot clock. It's a contested two. It's a mid-range. Steph's guarded in the corner, but Kuminga, it's a pull-up 12-footer, and he misses. And there's three or four other shots in his game log that are similar. Now, there's a few that are end of the shot clock, 1 second on the clock, fine. You got to go up there and shoot it.
Absolutely.
There's a few open threes. Yeah, a shot created must be taken, but it's these shots where it's mid-clock, it's mid-range, and it's contested. Those are the shots that, unless you're Kevin Durant, you're not going to be encouraged to take that.
I want y'all to listen to this again now, having listened to Anthony Slater, because Slates basically said he thinks this was directed at Jonathan Kuminga. So if that's what Slater thinks, listen to it again. Steve Kerr, after the win on Saturday.
You know, I love the possession where Steph got off the ball and we went swing. You know, I think he threw it to either Trace or Gary in the pocket. Swing to Wiggs. Wiggs swings it to Dennis. It comes back to Steph. That's the game right there. And that's what we're trying to impart on our young players. You know, we have Steph Curry on our team, you know, so pass the ball, move the ball. And if Steph gets off it early because he's gained an advantage, now the defense is scrambling. And this is how we've played for 10 years. And it's important for our young players to understand we don't need contested 17-footers with 12 on the shot clock, right? That's a bad shot. And I talked to our guys about that during several timeouts. It's something we have to recognize and get better with. When you have Steph Curry on the team, you pass the ball. Because pass it two or three times, the defense is scrambling, all hell breaks loose. So it's a choice. We can either do that and win games, or we can shoot, you know, a whole bunch of 15-foot contested shots in the middle of the shot clock and be a lousy NBA team. It's up to us, and we are hammering that point home with our team.
Okay, I tell you what, like, and I feel like Anthony was getting to this as well. There's no question that if you're Jonathan Kuminga, you are receiving mixed messages. Like, and the Warriors are guilty of that. Absolutely. We go from, we're going to start him, we're going to build a runway for him. Draymond is literally in press conferences saying he's him, he's next, this is going to be his basketball team. And then two games later, he's not even starting, and Steve Kerr is holding press conferences where all he'll do is refer to him as our young players. And the message of that whole thing is, I don't know who you think you are. You're not Steph.
Right.
This whole thing's about Steph. Stop making it about you. It's about Steph. And that's a very different message than what he had gotten a week before. So the Warriors are a guilty of that. But what's Jonathan guilty of? I mean, Jonathan is probably guilty of having a different goal than the team, at least at times.
Right.
You're trying to get paid.
Yes, and I also think that part of it is him still learning how to play the, quote, right way. And I'm looking at maybe the play that Steve was referencing, 3:28 to go, third quarter, Warriors up one, Kuminga drives from the left side into the key, and I paused it where you have Steph Curry guarded at the three-point arc, Mark, and he is pointing at Pods. Pods has his hands up, ready for a catch and shoot. That was close. Ready for a catch and shoot. He's ready for a catch and shoot above the break. Steph is literally pointing to Pods. Kuminga drives in and shoots a contested 12-footer with 10 seconds on the shot clock. And, you know, that's a time where you penetrate. Pods is literally ready for the three, and Steph is pointing. Oh, so
why don't you go ahead and let everyone know what happened with the shot?
I hit play. Actually, he's double-teamed. Good close-up by Gobert and Naz Reid. They miss. Looney offensive rebound. Steph cuts for a layup.
Did he miss or did he miss?
Oh, he missed.
I mean, a couple of these highlight packages of the plays that they think Steve Kerr are talking about. Jonathan didn't just take these shots. Jonathan hucked bricks at a glass backboard.
Well, there was one earlier these were that I looked close. At that was a catch and shoot three from the corner extended, and he airballed it.
Yep.
But it's the kind of shot you want him to
take. That's fine.
Open
I don't.
Three.
Yeah, I don't
right.
mind that.
Right.
But the contested 15-footer that hits mostly backboard, it's going to be a no from me, dog.
Right.
Like, and that's what Steve was saying, and he's not wrong either. So, like as usual, everybody's got a hand in this. The Warriors are definitely sending Jonathan mixed messages. The problem is Jonathan is only receiving one side of them. Anytime that a runway is being created for him, Jonathan's all in. But when it's time to be like, dude, defense, team basketball, passing the ball, I don't think that they feel like he's hearing that.
Yeah, and I do think that a lot of it is, and I can't go inside the mind of Jonathan Kuminga, but if I were in his spot and I see a lot of my draft classmates already getting paid and getting 8 and 9 figure deals, my teammate, Moses Moody, got a 3-year deal for $39 million, and I didn't get paid, so I'm going to spend my time this year trying to secure the bag and, you know, not at the expense of the team winning, but you do want to show what you can do. And so I think what you're saying is fair, that the team has kind of built him up into a certain spot, and at the same time they want him to also be aware of the right way to play. And I'm looking at another moment here. They're up 21 early, and Kuminga with a step-back 25-foot three-pointer with 16 on the clock.
Oh, God.
And he missed it. And they're up by 21, so it's not that big a deal. But
it is a big deal because they can lose that lead really quick, and they did.
And this is not the right way to play. You've got, looks like Schroeder on the weak side with his hand up, unguarded, and a skip pass to Schroeder, and Schroeder's got probably a better shooter than Jonathan. So
most definitely.
That would be a spot, but you know, Kuminga just two dribbles out to above the break, and he lets it fly on a step back. No good.
Well, let's hear from Big Smooth in Oakland. We're going to have Shooty Babbitt in just moments. Hey, Big Smooth, thanks for calling.
Hey, man. First of all, rest in peace, Ricky Henderson.
Yes, sir.
True superstar. One of the great ones. But listen, man, I love Steve Kerr right now. Say it. Needs to be said. This is what we're doing. It's worked for 10 years. Forget all this, man. They're going to have to retool anyway when Steph is done. Go the Sam Presti way. Probably better off doing it that way. If these guys are not on board with this, who cares who's in their feelings and wants to know who we're talking to? We're talking to everybody. This works. Pass. Chef, give the chef a shot. This is it. No, Jonathan Kuminga's not bringing a title. Let's face it. And if they thought so highly of him, he would have already been paid. I think sometimes we take the teams take too long to decide a pathway. Pathway's been decided. It's clear. They said I read an article saying that they're ready to retool with veterans and let this talent go. Because really, what good is this young talent if it's sitting on the bench not developing?
Well,
I mean, we're wasting time.
Yeah, Big Smooth, I'm with you, and thank you very much for the call, which is to say, not to take anything away from the individuals involved. I think you're starting over when Steph leaves anyway. It doesn't mean you trade Kuminga for a song. You don't do that. Because what does that do for you? I think that's the only reason, though. I think they would have traded Kuminga by now if they thought that they had a deal in place that would make them a lot better. That deal hasn't presented itself yet.
Yeah, and I also think that it becomes complicated based on what he makes. He's only making about $7 million, so his trade value from a contract standpoint is not that high. And if his play isn't so overwhelming that teams are going to want him, then he becomes a throw-in, and you don't want to do that.
888-957-9570. We'll have some time a little bit later to get back to your phone calls, but joining us right now on the River Islands guest line, we've been looking forward to this. We've been waiting for this. It's none other than Shooty Babbitt with thoughts on the passing of the great Ricky Henderson. So, Shooty, happy holidays. Thank you so much for the time and for joining us today.
Hey, guys, I just want to say thank you for having me. Happy holidays to you. Many blessings and wishes to your family. Hope everybody's happy and healthy and having a great holiday season. It's a different season for everybody every year, and this one is no different than any other one, just unfortunately affecting all of us differently this year in the Bay. But I just want to thank KMBR. My head ain't right.
That's all.
95.7, the game.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Shooty.
For doing such a tremendous job all day long of giving Rick his props and sending him out of here like a true legend and Hall of Famer that he was and that he will always be, man. So, once again, thanks a lot for having me.
Well, no, thank you for doing it, especially at this time. And we want to know just, you know, what's the first and maybe the second and third thing that you want to say about Ricky Henderson at this time?
I just hope that you were as fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to be around one of the greatest to ever put the cleats on. If you love baseball, like baseball fans do, and you were one of them, and you had the opportunity to meet Ricky and get a chance to see the person that he was. I mean, we can look at film and tape and everything all day long and still wouldn't have enough time to look at his greatness on the field. But there's only a select few, and the Bay Area fans, I just want to shout out to you. You treated Ricky like the true king that he was. You know, when the field got made and named after him and the ovations and the receptions and the love that you showed, because you know the kind of person Ricky was. And what I remember most about him is just the Hall of Fame person and how he treated the people around him. He was never in a group of people that he felt that he was too big for. You wouldn't know by what he said, maybe by his walk, by his gait, that he was somebody special. But, you know, it's so deep, man. My truck has been stuck in the mud for the last couple of days, and I've been looking for a chain to pull me out. And it's so hard, because everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, everything that you hear, they're talking about Ricky. And, you know, we all going to get up out of here one day, and we just don't know when it is. And I just wish that he was alive to get all of his flowers. I mean, he won't even be able to scratch the surface of to get a chance to understand and to appreciate and celebrate all the accomplishments that he did for this game and this community. And I feel for the community, the people of Oakland. This is your dude, and we're proud to have him, and I'm thankful that we all got a chance to see him do everything he did right here.
Yeah, Chudy, that's great, and those are great words, and I really appreciate you bringing up the Oakland part of it, because I think about yourself and obviously Ricky Henderson and Bip coming out of Skyline High and just all of the other great athletes that have come through Oakland before you guys and after you guys as well. Speak to that a little bit, Chudy, about the Oakland connection with Ricky and how impactful it was for him to do what he did with the A's and then eventually stay in Oakland and become such an ambassador for the city.
Well, I'm from the Bay. I was born and raised in Berkeley. We're connected to Oakland. And in the Bay Area, the hotbed and the fertility of great athletes, good athletes, superior athletes was incredible. You got more competition during the off season at Golden Gate Park playing against guys that didn't get an opportunity to play that was probably better than some of us like myself who was fortunate and lucky and got a chance and things bounced my way and I got an opportunity and I made it to the big leagues. But it was like everywhere you looked in either city, from Skyline, Castlemont, Oakland Tech, Berkeley High School, McClimates, there were heroes at those schools athletically, guys that were from the neighborhood, guys that were from the community, that were doing things, that were exhibiting themselves on the stage, that did something that showed us that this was something that we could dream of and that we could do. And just to be able to compete in the parks on Saturday against some of these guys, it was incredible. So when you were a Gary Pettis, or where you were a Bip Roberts, or you were Steve, you can talk on and on and on about the guys who got an opportunity to play pro baseball. And the one commonality that we have in our era is that we had Ricky. And it was such a proud thing when I was in the minor leagues and I'd go somewhere, another city, meet up with another brother from another team, and I'd tell him where I'm from, and the first thing coming out, you were Ricky from, huh? Yes, sir. Absolutely. For him to come out, and we had some greats that come out of the Bay Area, man. But when you're talking about the great Pisk to ever do what he did, and there will never, ever, 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 ever be someone to steal the amount of bases that Ricky did. And not only that, Ricky set out to be the greatest. The first time I laid eyes on him, he was 14 years old. We were going to an all-star game for a Pony League, and Mr. Lou Cotton, who was a coach of Ricky's over in Oakland, brought Ricky over to join our team. And when he walked on the field for the first time, and I saw him as a 14-year-old, I knew I'd seen something I'd never seen before. And I'd never been in awe of any man in my life other than my dad. And it was just something different about this dude. His head was bigger than ours. His hamstrings were big. He had this small waist. He was a sandy color. He was strong. He was just different. And I knew I had not seen anybody like him in my life. I've been scouting for, this is going to be my 33rd year. I've seen some of the greatest. A-Rod, Jeter, I've seen Jimmy Rollins, I've seen all these great ones, and I saw them when they were amateurs. But I wasn't at all like I was with Ricky, and to this day, I still haven't seen anything like him. So I feel honored, and I also feel a little, I'm humbled, but I also feel like I shouldn't even be talking this long, because I feel like I'm taking away time for people who had the same encounter and same relationship with Ricky and the same impact on their lives that would love to have the opportunity. So I'm just thankful for you guys giving me an opportunity to speak on it. You know, the Oakland A's have done a tremendous job the last few years of recognizing Ricky and what his accomplishments were, naming the field, getting the number up there, watching Ricky walk in from center field and pop that collar. Man, he was so proud and erect walking in. It was just, and I'll never forget that day, because he earned every single part of it. And I just want to make sure that Pam, his wife, Bobby Henderson, his mother, his children, his brothers and his sisters, that they know that we're all praying for him and their family, because, man, that's a tremendous loss. And I don't think people can understand the impact that it's going to take for that family to stay together and pull themselves through this, man. But, man, we lost a hero, bro. And I'm just so thankful and humbled that I got an opportunity not only to play with him, but more importantly, is I can say that I was a friend of the great Ricky Henderson.
Shooty Babbitt is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Great to hear you talk on the man, but especially who we know Ricky was, the way he talked to people, the way he talked about himself. He's such an original. So, Shooty, we got to have it, man. What's your favorite Ricky story?
My favorite Ricky story is so many, man. My gosh. It would take me a minute. I guess I could tell you some that, I mean, you've heard them from everybody, because the things that Ricky has said, I mean, you couldn't help but hear them. I mean, the times when strikes were called on him and he'd turn around and tell the umpire, you know, Ricky don't swing at balls. You know, that appalled strike. You know, the Tony Gwynn, you know, about when Ricky was sitting up in front of the bus. You know, I guess the best one for me, and I might be messing it up a little bit here, but when Tony La Russa took over for the A's, you know, Ricky had been running wild all through baseball and pretty much had the green light. And, you know, Tony, the manager that he was, you know, he wanted to be in control a little bit, so he kind of called Ricky over and let him know, hey, you know, the green light is yours and everything still, but you know, when I wipe across the chest, you know, that means I'm taking things off. You know, that means, you know, I'm taking things off. There's nothing on. So Ricky, okay, next time he gets on base, first time he goes, steals first base. I mean, gets on first base, Tony Russo swipes across his chest. Ricky steals second in the very first pitch. Ricky steals third on the next pitch. Ricky scores. Ricky comes into the dugout. Everything's good. Everybody congratulates him. Tony kind of calls him over and talks to him a little bit. Ricky, you know, when I wipe, that means I'm taking it off. He said, I thought you meant take off. So I took off.
Oh, gosh.
So it was those type of things. You know, you hear all the quirky things about Ricky and stuff and about him talking about himself in the third person. It wasn't. You know, we didn't look at it like that. This is a man that knew that God gifted him with something that nobody else had, and he had not seen it. And he just wasn't out to lead the Cal League in stolen bases or be the best stolen base leader in the minor leagues. When he raised that base over his head and he said, today I am the all stolen bases, all, the king of all time, he wasn't popping his collar or boasting or being bodacious or anything like that. That man was proud of that honor, because if you watch the way that he played the game, people talked about how he didn't play day games after night games and all this stuff. If you watched the physical abuse in which he applied to his body day in and day out, you see Ricky sliding into the bag, over the bag. Some of these guys nowadays, they got boxing gloves running the bases. They get hurt from getting on their belly. It was never the case like that with Ricky. He played every day. He loved to play. The days that he had to take off, it wasn't because he wanted to. It was because that he needed to. So, man, this dude was a physical specimen, and he took his gift all the way to the moon, man.
Shooty Babbitt here on 95.7 The Game, remembering the all-time stolen base and the all-time run-scoring leader, Ricky Henderson, who passed away over the weekend. What was he like in the clubhouse, Shooty, just in terms of, you know, not only being such an everyday player, a guy who hated to sit out, but just being one of the fellows with all the different teams he played on?
Ultimate competitor. I don't care if it was black backgammon, cards, Pente, you come up with a game, Ricky would play you until the end of the day. He did not like to lose at anything, and he was pretty good at everything. He loved talking to young players. He loved talking the game. When we start reflecting and talk about it in the day where guys got a chance to stay in the clubhouse and talking after the games and talk and have a beer and stuff like that when things were different, I mean, Ricky's one of the last guys to leave. I mean, he just loved talking baseball. And anybody that you talk to that played with him, that's what's been so great today, listening to all the different people call in, different people, different places, talking about him as far as players are concerned. And the first thing they say about Ricky is that he was a great teammate. So it's kind of synonymous with who he was. You know, the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of the game. Who else to start a game off for you than Ricky Henderson, and it'd be a great teammate as well. So I think if you had a problem with Ricky Henderson, you probably had a problem with yourself. You never heard him criticizing other people, talking about other people. You may think he was talking about himself, but my God, had I had the skill and the career, and every now and then I might have mentioned something about myself. I don't know. What do you think, guys?
Pretty rare, but maybe. But you know what? You know what I think you're speaking to, Shooty, that I think is so incredible is to hear, and this is why I'm thankful for guys like you, to hear people speak about Ricky if they were actually on the inside shows me that Ricky did not necessarily match the presentation of the player. You could easily look at Ricky and be like, oh my gosh, he talks about himself in the third person and he snatch catches in left field. He's a hot dog. He's a me guy. And to listen to the people who knew him, you get a very, very different picture and a different reality.
Very unfair. I think Sandy Alderson's quote today was one of the best. And if you haven't gotten a chance to see it, just go up there and find it. And he talked about Ricky. But I think it's unfair, especially somebody like myself growing up. They called me a hot dog, too. I hit homers and strike out, and I ran around the bases. I blew bubbles when I ran around first base. I pep slide like Willie Mays. They called me a hot dog. I wasn't a hot dog. I was enjoying the game.
Right.
I'm in the show. When we were coming up in the minor leagues, our only goal was on our mind was getting to the show. Ain't no league bigger than the big leagues, bro. Not as far as I know. I haven't been to the moon. I have some people that's been stuck up there for about 8 months. I know they got a lot to talk about up there. But I'm just saying, brother. So, man, this man just loved to be in the spotlight. He never ran from it, and he always excelled in it. So, man, that was Ricky, man. That was – if you go – I don't care anywhere in the world you go – you're talking about sports. If you say Ricky, automatically you're going to think you're talking about Ricky Henderson. And there's a thousand Rickies around.
It's great stuff. Yeah. Shooty, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all of that, and happy holidays, man.
I can't thank you guys enough for thinking enough of me to have me on. I'm truly humbled by it, and I love the Bay Area. I love every fan that's ever said anything nice, even the ones that haven't. I love you, too.
Thank you, Shooty. Hopefully,
happy holidays to everybody, man. May God bless everybody.
Hopefully, talking about Ricky can help you get the truck out of the mud, because I know we're all feeling a little stuck in the mud after this weekend.
This was great, man. This was outstanding. Thank you so much. I definitely needed it, for sure.
Shooty, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you
soon. Take care, guys.
All right, you too. Right. There it is. Shooty Babbitt on Willard and Tibbs on 95.7 The Game.
One of the all-time greats.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, I got to know Shooty a little bit over from some time at used to be Comcast Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. And see Shooty out there on the golf course. And if you ever see Shooty on the golf course, you better bring your wallet. Because there's action. There's action.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. We're sponsored by Safeway. Coming up next, pre-game, Steve Kerr further addressed his comments Saturday, who they were directed at, what he actually means, what it means for the future, and specifically talked about Jonathan Kuminga's fluctuating role, and you know what that is, Dibs.
It's a fluctuation sensation is what it is.
So we're going to let you, we're going to talk a little bit about what Steve said and work through that a little bit. And then before we get out of here for the holiday, first of all, I will be back for
Cha-ching!
Thank you. Monday, December 30th. I'll be back for the Niners-Lions game. So this is not my last 2024 show, but it is yours.
Yeah.
And so we'll get some thoughts on that. And I have a plea to the San Francisco Giants based on information I just received. Okay? So we're going to do all of that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dab Nation, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Well, he said it singular. Your pick stinks, well, and you're right. My pick did stink.
It might.
The Niner game.
It
that
might.
That pick stunk.
Yep, and tonight's might as well.
Oh, we're off to an okay start.
The Packers off to a 7-0 lead. I don't think that's okay for you at all, but
it
anyway.
Is when you're getting 14.5.
Yeah, but they've only had one possession. They're only
Spencer
allowed to score
Rattler
seven.
Spencer looks looks pretty solid right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, led all the way down the field to a punt. So, anyway. anyway. Hey, how does this grab you? Dude, Steve is bringing the wood with regard to the young players. He's really ramping up the rhetoric, and this comes after a double digit road victory. But he was asked pregame tonight to expand on what he said on Saturday when he said, "When you've got Steph on your team, you pass the ball. We don't want contested mid-range shots halfway through the shot clock." Anthony Slater comes on our show and goes, "I think he's talking to Kuminga." So he expands. These are the quotes. Quote, "I got on Kuminga and Pajemski during the game. I got on other guys throughout the season. The message was really for our whole team. But with regard to Kuminga's fluctuating role, quote, when you're losing, you try a lot of different things." He was pressed further on Kuminga and straight said this: "I'm not going to stop coaching him. The last two games, his field goal attempts, his decision-making has been poor. It needs to improve."
Right, and I'm just going back to the previous game against Memphis to look at how he did, because that game was kind of a blur, and he was 2-for-12 in that game.
Yep.
And it didn't really matter because that thing got away from all of them early, but Steve's greater point is you got to be better about the shots you're taking. And I'm looking at some of the shots he took in that game, and it's a lot of what we saw the other night in the victory over Minnesota, where it's mid-shot clock, it's him off the dribble, pulling up from 14, from 17, and taking a shot that is available. Jonathan Kuminga has the ability to get to 14, 16, 17 feet at any time. He can take a contested mid-range shot at any point in any game throughout his career.
Yep.
That shot is there. And what Steve is saying, and I'm sure he's saying it more forcefully behind closed doors, let's get a better shot. And if we get to 3 seconds on the clock or 2 on the shot clock, then yeah, you can be the dribble into the paint, contested jumper guy, because a lot of these guys can't be that player. He can, but you don't want to do that with 16 on the shot clock.
Tonight's an interesting game, man. And by the way, Draymond Green is still a game-time decision. They're going to send him out there for warm-ups and then make a further call. GP2 is out. Moses Moody is in. So that's kind of the injury report for this game tonight. But it's an interesting one as you move into Game 3 in the Schroeder era, if you will. But the first game back home. So they have the total stinker in Memphis. They get a nice win in Minnesota. Now you come back home. The Pacers have been hot. They've won 4 games in a row. They blew out the Kings last night, but still kind of a middling team in the East. And I would really like to see the Warriors, who have had such a December schedule, so difficult, you'd love to see them really focus in on taking advantage of the games that they could slash should win. Tonight is one of those nights.
I don't know if there are any games that you could look at that are could slash should, other than the teams that are true doormats, true bottom feeders. But, you know, you look at an Indiana team, and the Warriors haven't necessarily been great at home, and the Pacers are kind of in that same spot. So depending on who's available, you are in a spot in the schedule where it's going to be every other night, you're going to have a game, and you know, I'm going to have my eyes more on Jonathan Kuminga just to try to see how he's going to respond to some pretty direct words about him from the head coach.
Somewhat significant favorite tonight, for if that matters to you, your in your assessment of the, what the Warriors should slash could do. I get where you're coming from on that, but they're a 5.5-point favorite tonight. They're supposed to win this basketball game.
All right, 5.5, that's, you know, that's not a huge spread in the NBA.
Not
but
a small one either.
Yeah, and the Warriors would be a tough team upon which to bet right now, because
I get it.
Who are they? You went to Memphis after a week off and you absolutely laid an egg. It was a virtual no-show. And then you turned around and went to Minnesota and you played pretty well. You built up a big lead. It got a little bit wonky late, but you held on for a nice road victory. So this whole season has been, for me, a case of who are you? You start the year 10-2, and then you go on a long, long skid where you couldn't beat anybody. And even over the last two, terrible loss, impressive win. Who is this team?
Yeah, well, and that sometimes even goes quarter to quarter. You get a 20-point lead if you're the Warriors right now. You can almost set your watch to that 20-point lead evaporating. They don't hold the lead. I could tell with the way that lead was built the other night. Minnesota was playing so horribly on offense that I was like, they're going to make a run. They're going to come back and get even in this game. It was, put it this way, the least comfortable 20-some-odd point lead that I can remember having, particularly because it was so early in the basketball game.
Right.
And the Warriors are prone to this. I think it's why Steve is talking the way that he is. They're prone to this because they are still, I guess it goes to your point, they still don't exactly know what their identity is. They don't know exactly who they are. And what that leads to, I think, is bouts of poor decision-making. And that's how a 20-point lead goes away.
Yeah, and you look at the game against Minnesota, and they were up 20, but it was, like you said, like 36-15.
Yeah, it was early.
Minnesota was literally unable to make a basket. The Warriors' D was pretty good, but Minnesota had missed a lot of shots that they normally make, and so I can kind of see, just watching that game, that Minnesota was going to find its footing a little bit, and the Warriors offensively were not terrific early on. They could have been up 35 or 40 as bad as Minnesota was, so that whole game was kind of like what the season has been.
Again, I will be with y'all next Monday leading into 49ers-Lions. You will probably be there for the crossover that day.
Yeah.
And help get us started. But outside of that, this is your last show of 2024. Do you have anything you'd like to say for yourself?
Not really.
Okay. Man, anything you want to say about 2024?
Make great, grandiose statements. I think the year, from a sports standpoint, was largely kind of a bummer. And you go back to the Super Bowl where, you know, I remember it well, and my daughter still thinks that the Usher halftime performance is the Super Bowl, or she calls it Soup Bowl. So the Soup Bowl was that. That was the high point, and then you go from there into a Giants season that the best thing that came out of the Giants season was a no-hitter from a guy no one really likes, and a president of baseball ops who you couldn't wait to get rid of, and, well, both of those things happened. And then the Warriors season kind of ended with a big fat dud,
yep,
where you couldn't even make it out of the play-in.
Missed the playoffs, yeah.
Right. So from a sports standpoint, not a lot of like wonderful warm and fuzzies, but I enjoy doing the show with you. I love our team, love the station. I'm kind of excited for the Monday night game. It's my sister's birthday.
Yes, sir.
Shout out Hurricane Gale. So we got that to look forward to. And then 2025, my brother.
Yeah, well,
2025. That's an actual year.
It is, and it's actually apparently going to happen no matter what, from what I'm told. But it's a perfect lead into one last thing I want to say before we just wish everybody the best for the week. I'm glad you brought up the bummer of the San Francisco Giants. Susan Slusser just dropped a piece with regard to the Giants' pursuit of Corbin Burns. And she says, absolutely, they're still involved in this at a very, very high level. I will say that the Red Sox grabbing Walker Buehler today, to me, means they're out. They're out on Corbin Burns. Is this the Giants and the Blue Jays and that's about it? Probably. But in the responses to her article on social media, she has interacted with fans, and one line stuck out to me. I want to read it, and then I want to say something real quick about it. Someone asked about the idea of Burns and the money, and asked if Buster was going to botch the free agent pitch. And Susan said, Buster does not decide the payroll. Ownership does. Ready for this sentence? Quote, this has clearly been something the team could get done for a while if ownership wants to spend the $200+ million it would take. Period. You want him, you got him. And I'd like to say this and this alone to the San Francisco Giants. If you suckers pitch to us that you're not going to do something because of money, I'm going to take it personal. You have the Mission Rock Project. You are a marketing engine on this West Coast. You have that ballpark. You had attendance go up. And food is essentially unconscionable in terms of what it costs to go to a game. And I'm willing to do all of it because, as you all know, I love this as much as I love anything in sports. If you won't do this because of money, you're not serious. And I think Buster Posey is serious. Giants, happy new year. You have got to do this. You have to. You have to do this for your fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to say that. And what I'm hearing from Susan and what you read is if they could have been done already, that tells me that the player's into it and the agent's into it. And if the team doesn't want to pay the freight, Buster's into it. If the team doesn't want to pay the going rate, and that's why this is dragging out, and ultimately he goes elsewhere for however much money it is, that is... that becomes more than just disappointing, to your point.
No doubt.
Because it seems, I mean, it's not Buster botching the pitch. If the pitch has been made and the player likes the situation and it comes down to them choking over another $2 million per year over eight, if it comes down to $10 or $15 million total, then what are we even talking about?
Hey, buddy, Merry Christmas.
You too, brother. Yeah.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. I know Hanukkah starts on Wednesday as well.
Yep.
So...
yeah, and Happy New Year and all the rest of it.
Looking forward to it all, man.
Yeah, it's all wonderful. Hey, my love to the family and the lovely Christy and all the various Willards is out there.
The same. The same to you and yours, and we want to send that to each and every one of you as well. Thank you so much for being a part of our show, being a part of our station. We just cherish the interactions. And as I said last week, what I hope for each and every one of you is just a heart full of joy this week. I hope you have people around you. If you don't, know that you are loved, and just find all the joy and the peace that you can this week. I hope that for each and every one of you, and we thank you. What is coming up on the game is obviously the Warrior game. Warriors Live with Evan Giddings standing by is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. For Dibs, for Lucas, for Carter, for Cam, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.